Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Let's talk about numbers, shall we? And it's not the one you think that's been, you know, floating around in this case for a little bit. The $1.5 million that he's suing to get. It's 300. Nick Reiner, accused of stabbing both of his parents to death in their Brentwood home, just filed a 136-page legal document in a Los Angeles probate court, 136 pages. And buried in the middle of all of it, right next to the demand for the $1.5 million payout, is a line asking for socks. Socks and hygiene products. Because at Twin Towers, your commissary account is capped at $300. And according to this filing, somebody on the trust side promised to keep that amount funded. Per the petition, not a single dollar has ever showed up. So you've got an heir to one of Hollywood's biggest fortunes sitting in a cell asking a court for soap money. And $1.5 million. That's where we start. And look, I spent 6 months telling you what I think about Nick Reiner. You know where I stand. Today, I'm doing something different. And honestly, I don't love it. I'm setting all of that down. All of it. And you know, as we do here, we do like to look at things from every perspective. There's not always a right or a wrong here. It's looking at things and trying to understand the motivation behind the actions that the people and the stories that we talk about have, how they got there. And express our own. That's what we do. So you know my opinion about Nick Reiner, my anger, my opinion, the gut reaction that I've been expressing. If you've been watching, if not, go back. There's a little bit to watch. We got to put it on a shelf here for the next few minutes. Because I'm going to answer one question as straight as I can. Should this man get the money? Get, not the sock money. I mean, I don't think he even deserves that. Should he get the $1.5 million? And the sock money, I guess. Two for one. My gut says absolutely not. Your gut probably does too. Every inch of your being probably says no. You do not get $1.5 million from the parents that you killed. But my gut and your gut don't write law in California. So I read the filing, every page, and what's in there is more complicated than anyone out there is making it. It is. It is very complicated. And it's an interpretation thing that a court's going to have to do its interpretation dance to figure out. Quick setup for anyone just finding this, if you're wanting to count what's going on here. Let's go back in time a little bit. December 25, Brentwood, California, Rob and Michelle Reiner stabbed to death in their home. Their son, Nick, who's 32, charged with two counts of first-degree murder, special circumstances, which means the death penalty is technically on the table. The DA hasn't confirmed either way. Nick pled not guilty, no bail. He had Alan Jackson, huge defense name, as his attorney initially. And then Jackson walked on January 7th because the money allegedly never came. At least that's the dots that many of us have came to connect. Allegedly. He didn't describe it as money. It was, what did he say? It was circumstances. It was something of that nature. He didn't directly say, hey, birthday, baby, I got your money. Don't you worry. Said, hey. No, that's not how it went. That wasn't how it went at all. He was an ODB. So Jackson walked. Then he gets a public defender. Then in June, his civil lawyers go into probate court with this petition, and it is aggressive. They want the distribution he says was due on his birthday in 2023, on his 30th birthday, plus the interest that money has earned since then. They want the commissary funded. They want a court to declare these distributions mandatory. They want damages from the trustee for breach. And the part, most of the coverage skipped right over, they want the second half too, the money he wasn't supposed to get until 35. All of it right now. Three questions. Why didn't he get it? Was it legal that he didn't? And should he get it now? We have to address this from a legal perspective, not necessarily our gut that tells us lock him away, close the door, turn off the oxygen to the bill. Oh, that's me. That's me. Like, can't do that. So the trust, let's go through, and I'd love to get your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube as we work our way through this. The links are in the description. So the trust, this thing is almost insultingly simple when you actually read it. It's called the Nick Reiner Children's Trust. His parents set it up in 1993, the year he was born, just his money, him as the sole beneficiary, and the instructions are, according to the petition, unambiguous. Half at 30, the rest at 35. Not if he's doing well, not if the trustee feels like it, or anybody else for that matter. The filing calls these payouts mandatory and unconditional. You can have trust like that. That's why it's not always a great idea to set up trust like that, because the person that you're setting it up for at 3 isn't exactly the same person at 30. And there's no way to really predict the future 27 years ahead of time. September 14th of 2023, Nick turned 30. And nothing happened. Nobody paid him. So, this time he was supposed to get the money. He was supposed to get $1.5 million at the age of 30. September 14th of 2023, he did not. His parents were alive and well at the time. If it's unconditional and whatnot, I don't know, you know. I'm going to guess, and your guess is probably as good as mine, that mom and dad or whoever had control of that trust looked at Nick and said, yeah, this is a horrible idea. Give him $1.5 million right now. He's going to go spend it on drugs. He'll be dead in a day. Now, looking back, retrospectively, they should have just gave him the money. He could have ended it himself. He would have. Almost guaranteed. You give the addict $1.5 million. It's like, go do whatever you like, right? Go have fun. Stop destroying our lives. They will. Oh, they will. And of course, if you love the person and care about them, you don't want their destruction. You don't want their... But now seeing how things turned out, I'm going to guess a few people might have said, we should have written that fucking check. Now, do the math on that with me, because this is what changes everything about how you should think about the story. September 23 to December 25, when his parents were found, is 27 months. If his lawyers are right, this was a mandatory distribution with no conditions, then that money stopped being trust property the day he turned 30. It became his, not his parents, not the trustees, his. The petition put it in exactly those words. The funds were wholly outside of any trust and beyond any trustee's supervision, which means this is not an inheritance fight. A birthday created this entitlement, not a death. I know it's an icky one to look at, and it makes you feel uncomfortable. And it's like, God damn it. If we're looking strictly at the letter of the law and the rules, again, I'm not a lawyer. I can't interpret it. But if the interpretation is correct, and look, there may be a caveat to it. I'm sure we'll hear it. Then it is what it is. And nobody, not the filing, not the reporting, nobody has explained why he didn't get paid in 2023. His parents were alive. They ran things. Whoever was managing that trust answered to Rob and Michelle Reiner directly. And for 27 months, the check just didn't go out. I mean, I keep coming back to that. We're going to sit with it at the end because it's one of the questions in this entire file that no court is ever seemingly going to be able to answer. It's more so, where does it go now, if it goes anywhere? Why did his parents build a trust in the first place? I mean, you probably already know Nick reportedly went through rehab more than a dozen times, starting when he was 14. According to reporting, he'd been prescribed medication for schizophrenia before the killings. You put money on a timer, half at 30, the rest at 35, and you love somebody, but you know a lump sum could destroy them? That's what the trust was, protection. And now it's the cage everyone is fighting over. So why doesn't he have it yet? Because since December, this trust has been a revolving door. An attorney named Paul Kanan took over in February. Nick's civil lawyers started pushing in April. Where's the age 30 money? And what they got back over April and May was what the petition calls a shifting series of excuses and justifications. First, Kanan's side says they're still trying to get into the accounts. They can't even confirm what's there. Then it's unresolved concerns about Nick's capability to make sound decisions. And the Slayer statute gets raised, the idea that he might be legally barred from the money because of what's occurred or he's accused of. Every time Nick's lawyers pushed, a new reason showed up. But here's what really got to me in this filing. The trustees didn't just say no, they set a condition. Kanan allegedly says Nick has to sit down with him or with the incoming trustee so they can personally evaluate whether he's capable of managing his own money. The incoming trustee wants Nick to meet with a criminal consultant she hired, and Nick's public defender looked at that setup and said, no way. Because none of those people are Nick's lawyers. Nothing said in that room is privileged. The filing is explicit about it. Any substantive discussion of his criminal case would be subject to compelled disclosure and will remain so even under a protective order. So think about what they're actually asking him to do. To get access to money, the trust says that it's already his, he'd have to sit in a room with people who can be subpoenaed and talk about a case where the state might try to execute him. That's the price of admission they set for apparently his own money. Are they running out the clock with lines and explanations and paths that they know will literally not lead to the money being protected, but lead to time being lost? Time that he doesn't have an attorney like Alan Jackson or someone of that ilk on his side. Now, I'm not going to manufacture a villain here because the mechanics don't need one. I mean, think about it from the trustee's side for a second. You release the money, Nick gets convicted 2 years from now, and his siblings sue you for paying out a fortune to a man a jury just called a murderer. Or you hold it, Nick sues you for breach, which is exactly what's happening. You're getting sued either way. Stalling is the cheaper lawsuit. That's just math for everyone except the guy in the cell. And the irony is brutal. The petition says that the consultant, the incoming trustee brought on, being paid out of Nick's money is where that's coming from. Presumably at Nick's expense. So the incoming trustee that's been brought on is now taking a payday from the money that he was supposed to already have along. I'm not trying to stand up for Nick here, but I am kind of going, this is why you don't set up trusts like this, where there's just irrevocable you can't predict the future. You don't set up ridiculous amount of money trust for people that have not yet come into themselves. They set this up when he was like three. You don't know what's going to happen. And the track record, if you're in Hollywood, of celebrities' children turning out A-OK and making great decisions at 30, it's a small club. You're making a pretty big assumption that your kid's going to be in it. And I mean, they did right by the other two. They made it. Two out of three ain't bad, as Meatloaf used to say. The filing claims the trustee keeps depleting Nick's funds by hiring lawyers to argue for reasons to keep holding Nick's funds. So, I mean, it really, that could be an endless cycle right there. All right, you got your money. There's nothing left. Why? Because we've been using your funds to fight you with it. The fight over the money is being billed to the money. One thing I want to be clear about here, nothing in this filing, nothing shows Jake or Romy behind this hold. I'm not going to put that on them. What the file does show is what the delay costs. Alan Jackson has said publicly, he'll come back if the money lands, in his own words. That's not what his words were, but he said that in his own words. And the petition puts a number on the damage. Every single week this drags on, in the filing's words, prejudice to his defense that cannot be undone. All right, now the Slayer statute. This is the law everyone in the comments thinks ends the conversation. So let's actually look at it, shall we? But first, you need the map. Because there isn't one pot of money in this story. There are three. Pot one, the big Reiner family trust, the estate money. The trustee has already said nothing from those moves until the criminal case is done. And if Nick is convicted, California Slayer statute wipes him out. Done. Nobody's really fighting about pot one. Pot two and pot three are his individual trusts. The money his parents put aside specifically for him, split in half by birthday, the age 30 half and the age 35 half. That is what is at war. So Slayer statute, don't apply to that. Don't apply to the $1.5 million that he could get or more, because the 35 money they're asking for too, that could be coming. They're not going after the big pot. Slayer statute would apply to that. They are essentially arguing for money that he supposedly was owed prior to all of this happening and never received it. I look at this and go, is this the motive for murder? You have probate code 250. You feloniously and intentionally kill someone in California. You're treated like you died first. You get nothing from the will, not from a trust, nothing. It's the law, and it kept the Menendez brothers from ever seeing a dime of their parents' money. And yeah, most people hear that and think, done. Nick loses. Move on. Except there's two things most people are missing, and they put it in a completely opposite, or they point in completely opposite directions. They pull you both ways. First one, this should scare you if you're Nick's lawyer. A criminal conviction triggers the statute automatically, sure, but a probate court doesn't have to sit around waiting for a jury. A civil judge can strip a beneficiary on what's called a preponderance of the evidence. More likely than not beyond a reasonable doubt, just more likely than not. Scott Peterson found that out the hard way. The civil side took his claim to Lacey's life insurance under that exact rule while his criminal appeal was still going. So when Nick's petition keeps leaning on presumed innocent, and it leans on it hard, understand that a probate judge doesn't owe that presumption anything. Second, one should scare you. This is another one. If you're the trustee, the Slayer statute takes away that you'd gain from someone's death. That's the whole design. But if the petition is right, if the age 30 money became Nick's property on September 14th of 23, 27 months before his parents died, then there's nothing there for the statute to grab onto. You can't lose to a rule about profiting from death when you had the money before anyone died. His lawyer's entire case runs through that argument. And to be honest, it's strong. I don't like saying that, but it's strong. Now flip to the other half. The age 35 money is still trust money right now. And by the trust's own terms, Nick is 32. Asking a judge to hand over that early is the weakest part of the petition. And the Slayer statute is sitting right on top of it. So it's an overreach, but if you're going to reach, you're going to go for as much as you can get. A compromise, if you will. We're not going to give you the 35 money, but we'll do the 30 money. Something like that. And then there's the capacity hole, the argument that he just can't handle his own money. The trust apparently has a mechanism for that too. A judge declares him incompetent, or two licensed physicians put it in writing. According to the filing, neither one exists. No court order, no doctor's letters. A prescription for medication is not a legal finding that someone can't manage their finances. And I get it. Everybody's gut says, of course he can't be trusted with his money. But nobody, not the trustee, not you, not me, gets to skip the process because we're disgusted by what he's accused of. The trust has rules. They wrote them down. And right now, the most uncomfortable thing about this entire case is that the strongest thing in Nick Reiner's corner is a document his own parents created. So, Joni Paris Montgomery, if that name sounds familiar, it's because she was Britney Spears' conservator. She's a professional fiduciary, and she's the one taking over Nick's trust. And there's an email attached to the petition where her side describes a job as fighting it out to help Nick with, and I'm reading their words here, what limited trust funds he does have, knowing that some will need to be preserved to benefit him for the rest of his life. Preserved to benefit him for the rest of his life. Before a probate judge has even set a hearing date, the incoming trustee isn't planning a payout. She's planning preservation. She's budgeting for the length of a life she's already expecting him to spend locked up. So we have three questions, basically. Why didn't he get it before December, before any of this happened? Nobody has said. That silence is the loudest thing in the entire filing. After December, it's been fear, confusion, and a statute that might or might not apply. Was it legal before December? If mandatory and unconditional means anything, then withholding that money for 27 months with no explanation is really hard to defend. That's exactly why he's suing for interest and damages, and I think he's got a shot at winning that part. After December, it's genuinely unsettled. That's not me dodging. That's the actual state of the law right now, and anyone telling you this is a simple call really hasn't spent any time with this. Should he get it? Let's go pot by pot. The inheritance, his parents' estate? No. And if he's convicted, never. The age 35 money released early? Probably not. It's not his yet, and a judge has every reason to leave it where it is. The same reason his brother and sister who didn't kill their parents can't necessarily jump ahead on that one either. But the other one, the age 30 distribution, the heart of the million and a half everyone is screaming about, the law leans towards yes. And here's where I have to say the thing I really don't want to say. Probably should. If that's how this was laid out, you can't pick and choose your legal rules. There's a reasons for trust. There's a reason these are set up the very specific ways they are. And they can't be, well, we changed our mind because he's doing this. And like, well, then you should have put more restrictions in there. And if the restrictions you put in there are not strong enough, or you can't produce what you need to produce to actually trigger the restriction, sorry. I mean, it sucks. It is. That's, again, if you got money, you got to think about this shit when you're setting up trusts and things of that nature. Because the presumption of innocence isn't something we hand out to people we feel sorry for. It's the line between every one of us and a government that has the power to take everything. If the state can pursue a man's life while a separate court holds his own money hostage, that line has a crack in it. And cracks like that don't stay one person's problem. But here's what no court is going to be touching. For 27 months, the two people who could have ended this with a phone call were alive. Rob and Michelle Reiner could have written that check. They could have told whoever was managing that trust to cut it loose. They didn't. The filing doesn't say why. And the only two people who ever knew the reason are gone. And the state of California says the reason they're gone is the man asking for their money. A judge is going to rule on their dollars. A probate fight will crawl along with its own slow clock because nothing in probate court moves fast. But no verdict, no ruling, no settlement is ever going to answer the question underneath all of this. His parents were why were his parents holding the money for 27 months? Nobody alive can tell us why exactly. But I think we could probably all connect the dots and figure out the reasons. In the end, nobody wins here. More money, more problems, right? What do you think? Should Nick get that money? Because, I mean, look at it. If he had gotten it where he was supposed to get it, and if their arguments are accurate, it's a big if. If you got one that can tell me, here's why this isn't, I'd love to hear it. Because I'm not saying I'm 100% right here. I'm saying, based on what I'm seeing right now, this is how it looks. I'm not an attorney. But had he gotten the money, he'd have, in theory, $1.5 million right now to spend on his legal defense. Now, had he gotten $1.5 million in 2023, do you for 1 second believe there'd be a penny left of it today? No. He probably would have died of an OD. And it would have been an afterthought. He would have been a story. Oh, here's some story about the Reiners alive today. You hear something about, yeah, they did have that son. He died of that overdose a few years ago. That's sad. That's the story. That's what it would have been. Not all of this. Tragic in either way. But was either path completely avoidable? I don't know. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'll continue our conversation right there. Be sure to press subscribe. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now. And don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.